Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
I don't know. Are we not talking about it enough? Is it just assumed that Cam Jurgens is going to step in there because that's the guy that they picked to take that spot? I mean, we're forgetting how important Jason Kelce has been. And you take a marginal center and that guy misses a week or two, and we hear about how difficult the line with the calls and the continuity. This guy's been taking every snap for 12 years.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Welcome back in, everybody. A Wednesday edition of Birds 365, joined now by our Wednesday usual, Mike Gill. Mike Gill, how you doing this morning, man?
What's up, boys? I'm doing all right. I'm enjoying the thought of training camp being here shortly.
Yeah. Happy OTA day, Mike. Yeah. We're going to be down there. How exciting is that for you?
I was laughing. I said it's Memorial Day weekend, which down here is like, you know, basically like training camp starting. And I said, well, as soon as June gets here, you're basically counting down to July when training camp starts. So it might as well be like the 1 month count. Do we have a training camp date yet? What's that? What are they keep?
No, not officially. It'll be late July, obviously, but not official yet.
I feel like everything in sports is like they keep moving it up and up and up and up.
Yeah. You just scared me. I wasn't even thinking about Memorial Day, and now I just realized Monday. I'm gonna be driving back in that shore traffic as everybody tries to get down there, Mike. It's just you just depress me.
It's Memorial Day Monday. You know, the calendar flips to June. We get to July, and as soon as July gets here, all you're thinking about is when that training camp starts.
Yeah. Well, I think the Phillies are gonna help. I think the Phillies are gonna help because
they might, but they might be so far ahead of the pack. I mean, you might just be like, all right, I'm bored of this. I hope not. I mean, just appreciate what you have, but you know, the society we live in only cares about playoffs and big games, and do you win the championship? You know, you win 112 games and lose. And that doesn't go over so well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no doubt about it. It's win or bust for the Phillies. It's always win or bust for the Eagles. What are you most interested in seeing? Obviously, we're not going to learn a lot for guys in shirts and shorts, but a couple players, Zach Vaughn, I'm interested in because of what Vic Fangio said. We thought he's going to be an edge rusher. Now maybe he's in the off-ball linebacker conversation. The great Isaiah Rogers, Deion Sanders 2.0, as I like to call him. Where's he going to line up? Is he even going to be relevant? What interests Mike Gill?
We had a long discussion about this yesterday based on something Brian Baldinger had said on Chris Long's Greenlight podcast. And you know, he mentioned Cooper DeJean about them having a plan and role for him. I'd love to see what it is. I mean, I'm still kind of intrigued by, you know, everybody just assuming he might be a safety. And he's basically saying, I didn't really play any safety at the rookie camps. He's like, so the way I look at it, see what you guys think. You got James Bradberry here. Fine. He's the number one guy until they get rid of him, right? I mean, they're not just going
to. By the way, I'm going to be interested. First guy I'm looking for to see if he's there. I wouldn't be there if I were James Bradberry, but I'm interested to see if he's even there.
Well, I would assume if he's there and on the team, he's probably the guy who gets the first reps out there.
Oh, yeah.
You drafted a guy ahead of Cooper. You had a chance to draft Cooper, who you've admitted you thought was a first-round player, but you obviously didn't think he was a first-round player ahead of the guy that you drafted ahead of. So that guy would be ahead of you, Quinyon Mitchell, on the depth chart. So as I see it, he potentially is the third outside corner. All right. Well, what about on the inside? Maddox has done nothing performance-wise. He's helping health-wise. So if he's healthy, do they just bump him down the depth chart and say, you're not good enough anymore? Rodgers, Tyler Hall, there are three guys who have more slot. Well, Rodgers maybe not as much, but three guys that have as much or more slot experience than you do. Does he usurp any of those guys? So outside of that position, all right, now what? All right, he's not a safety then, you're saying. Then where are you using him? What is he? So I think that's the most intriguing thing for me. And my point is, I do agree that he will be on the field and have a role.
Yeah.
Well, where is it going to be and as what?
Yeah, it's a good point, Mike. We'll see what they end up doing with Cooper. I'm with you. I think he's going to be on the field, but I don't really see it at safety. I know he can play it, but did they draft him to be a safety? And then you run the risk of, like, if we play him at safety and he's great, are they going to move him after that? I mean, remember, like, Landon Dickerson, you know, he wasn't supposed to be a left guard, but he was so good at left guard, they weren't going to change it. I don't know if the Eagles want that to happen with him.
Yeah, like, and he said, well, they talked to me a little bit about playing safety, but, you know, I've done most of my work. He said the other day on, I guess, Up and Adams show with Kay, that basically, you know, the first spot he's getting looks at is outside corner.
Yeah.
I just mapped out for you why that might be difficult.
That's, okay. That's where the Eagles scouted him and see him at long term. I think it's pretty simple, Mike. I think it's, look, when you get down to 53 and they want him on the field, I think this year he's going to have to get on the field inside. It might be some slot cornerback. It might be some big nickel. As the third safety in obvious passing downs because they don't have any linebackers. So he might be playing a glorified linebacker position. And then 2025, your hope is your two outside corners are Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. Go back to last year. Nobody wanted Nolan Smith taking off-ball linebacker snaps, but he had to take some later in the season because of injuries. Sidney Brown, nobody wanted to play him in the slot, but he had to play in the slot a lot because they had so many injuries. Yeah, sometimes you got to do that. But yeah, you're like, right, long-term, it's corner, outside corner, and they think he's going to be an outside
corner. He was listed on the Iowa website in 2022 of having started 10 games at Leo/. I don't remember what they called
cash,
the other
cash position.
There you go.
Cash position.
So I don't know what that is in the NFL. Is that a edge rusher? Is that a linebacker? Is that a safety/linebacker? What Baldinger said, he said basically he thinks that they drafted him with something in mind, Justin Simmons, similar to like what they did with him, where he's just kind of everywhere. But is that guy everywhere in addition to Bradberry, Maddox, Slay? Is one of those guys out of the mix? Does N'Kobe Dean get pushed off the field? Does Devin White get pushed off the field? Who does not exist because he's on the field? Do you still have Blankenship and C.J. Gardner-Johnson or Sidney Brown? And, like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. which guy doesn't have a role because they need to find a place to put him on the
field. Well, I would start at linebacker because, you know, at least talent. Yeah. At least in obvious passing situation. I'm talking about obvious pass. I'm talking third and 10, that type of situation. A lot of teams are going that way. A lot, you know, I always bring up Josh Metellus because he plays all over. He played 13 positions. I'm like, there's only 11. They said he played 13. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
And he moves all over the place. So more teams are going that way.
Yeah.
And I think that the Eagles might start him in that because they think he can handle.
Well, and the day after they drafted him, that was my thought, is they traded up to pick him, which means somebody had a voice to say, get this guy because I want to use
Jeffrey
him
Lurie
in a role.
Yeah.
And if it's Jeffrey Lurie, I don't know what defensive coordinator mind he has, but he sees a role for him. The other guy that Baldinger brought up, and I think is maybe, I don't know, are we not talking about it enough? Is it just assumed that Cam Jurgens is going to step in there because that's the guy that they picked to take that spot? I mean,
yeah,
we're forgetting how important Jason Kelsey has been. And you take a marginal center, and that guy misses a week or two, and we hear about how difficult the line with the calls and the continuity. This guy's been taking every snap for 12 years.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Because Cam missed 5 games last year, or 6 games. It might have been 6.
And now you're turning this over to a guy who missed time last year and is not Jason Kelsey. And the one interesting part about this is that Kellen Moore is new. So he doesn't know what he can and cannot do because Kelsey's here. Because I would say if the same play caller's here, does that guy say, well, I can't do this without Jason Kelsey being here. I can't call that play. This play is no longer a part of our playbook because of what he was. Or do we just assume Cam Jurgens will be able to run the plays?
The silver lining, I think Cam's going to be fine. I don't think he's going
to be. It doesn't mean that he won't be good, but he's not going to be Jason Kelsey.
No, I mean, that's
what does that mean you
can
and cannot do? But what does that mean you can and cannot do?
A silver lining to that is, guys, Kellen Moore never had Jason Kelsey, so he doesn't know. He doesn't know
what I'm saying. He doesn't know what he can and cannot do because he hasn't had the Kens with Kelsey. But Nick Sirianni might say, I don't know if you can run that play with who you got here. Although maybe Moore's never had a guy like that and doesn't have those plays in his playbook. I mean,
he's never had a guy. There's like 5 centers in the history of the game that are in the conversation with Jason Kelsey. So I'm pretty sure Kellen Moore's never had one of those. He had some good centers in Dallas, but not to the level of Jason Kelsey. I mean, that's part of it. You don't replace players like that, but he was getting older, you know.
I do think that, like, it's like, okay, Jason Kelsey's gone, and it's almost like he was so popular, and he's still, like, in our mind, and we see him around a lot. It's almost not kind of set in that there's a new guy playing a very important position that is, you know, just been a mainstay on this team, replacing a guy who's just been
The Eagles don't even talk about it because they have a lot of confidence in Cam Jurgens, lot of confidence. And you know, the biggest issue I mentioned was the durability because Jason was always on the field and Cam already missed 5-6 games. I think the backup plan is pretty good because I think Matt Hennessy, he proved he's a starting level center in the NFL and he just had a bunch of injuries. So it's always a risk when you have an injury prone player, but as a backup, I think Matt Hennessy was a good plan, good decision.
Yeah.
I think a very good decision.
They've had a lot of good backup plans, but they've never needed them. Hopefully, you don't need them. And Cam Jurgens gets through. And I said, listen, just because a player is a Hall of Fame player and retires doesn't mean the next guy automatically stinks or can't play. That's not what we're saying. Or
Aaron
we're not saying at all. If you ask me some things that I'm intrigued by, is the fact that you've got a new guy who's in charge of that offensive line for the first time in a long time. And I don't know that people are kind of like, hey, that might be an issue for the first time in a long time. And that's with Kelsey not having a great year last year. He was good. He wasn't like excellent, but it's still a guy who you have not had to think about at a very important position for over a decade.
Yeah, and I think there's the one thing about that, too, is there's a lot more than meets the eye at that position, right? Like, everybody loves what Jason does, getting to the second level, and that's all part of it, and I'm not expecting Cam to be that. But what Jason does on the blitz pickups and at the line of scrimmage and calling out plays and coverages and defense, like, I think that's a big part of it, too, and I'm not sure how good Cam Jurgens is going to be at that. It'll be hard to tell from watching it on TV, but I think that's a big role that he's going to have to pick up. That's kind of an underrated part of that as well.
And coupled with the fact that he's going to have to get used to a new right guard who he's never played with before, and he might be trying out three or four different guys. I mean, he might have training camp. It's not like he can get right together with a new right guard, because now maybe that's not the case. Maybe Tyler Steen gets plugged in there and he's the only guy that he plays with all training camp. But if you're trying to get a new center to work with the interior, he's going to have one guy on his left that he's going to have a good relationship with. The guy on his right, is it going to be Steen every day, every snap, or is it going to be a different guy next to him where he can't get his continuity with that guy as fast as he wants to?
Javon Holland. We got to talk about Javon Holland, Mike Gill. He's down in Miami yesterday taking veiled backhanded shots at Vic Fangio. Not the first time for Javon Holland. Not the only Dolphins defender who took some shots at Vic on his way out the door. They're all pretty consistent, you know, kind of didn't like the old school approach. It is a new generation. Any concerns that, you know, it's 40 years for Vic in the professional ranks. It's a lot different than when he started in 1984. Guys keep talking about it.
And he doesn't think it's that much different, by the way. You remember his comment? Yeah.
The player. Well, and I thought he made an interesting comment that day where he said he kind of set it up for the players to look good. He said, you know, it's not the players' problem. They're the same.
It's the people around them.
It's the people around them who are letting these players off the hook a little bit. They're not demanding more of the players.
Yeah.
So is that his way of saying, hey, like, I wish I could get more out of these players or demand more out of these players, but I'm going to make the players look good by saying they want to be great. Everybody out here is not letting us let that
kind of rep the organization, if you think about it.
The whole
Eagles have been at the forefront, of scaling things back.
You know, but to go like to that, I mean, that's a tough one because not everybody gets along. Certain personalities don't like each other. Maybe he was just in a spot. Like, you could work at a certain place that you just didn't feel like you fit in. You're just not in the right, you know, atmosphere. You know, you work at, say, Barstool Sports. It's a little bit of a frat-type atmosphere. Maybe that's not your personality. But you go do similar work at a different place that's doing content. Maybe those people there you like a little bit more or have similar personalities, and you're not having that. So maybe Miami just wasn't a spot for him. I can't imagine that every single player in the league defensively doesn't get along with Vic Fangio. I mean, Colin Thompson, we had him on here, and then he was on my show last week, and we talked more about Vic, you know, and he plays offense. But I said, you know, what kind of personality he is, what kind of guy he is, and he's like, he's just a quiet guy. Like, some people were okay with that. Others want, like, you know, we talk about Sean Desai and the role that he had in Jalen Carter's season, you know, as the coordinator, and then getting booted and then bringing Patricia in. Jalen Carter's a guy that would have been the number one pick in this draft, potentially, had he not had some off-the-field problems. So you're talking about an uberly talented guy who then showed he was an uberly talented guy and then all of a sudden kind of vanished. Did he kind of get mixed up in this whole dysfunction of the coordinator changes and everything that happened on that defense? It's just a lot of personality-driven stuff. Like, you know, what kind of role did Sean Desai's personality have in last year's performance from some of these players as opposed to what John Gannon's personality was the year before, and then Matt Patricia's, and now Vic Fangio? So I don't think what Holland says is just universally to be accepted. I think it's just every guy has a different connection with a different type of
personality. Now, if there were, but it was more than Javon Holland. If there were a Dolphins 365 show, there'd be a lot of talk. Oh, there's going to be a problem in the locker room, Mike Gill, because of things that Jalen Ramsey, Xavien Howard, who's no longer there, Javon Holland, and some others said, I'm with you. You get 90 people together. Just round up the next 90 people you meet. They're not all going to like you.
No, that doesn't.
Vic's been doing it for a long time. If it's a problem with the players not wanting to work hard and wanting a best friend, yeah, I got to start looking at the generation saying, well, tough.
Yeah, well, and yeah. Another, like, you've got three guys to start anyway. Well, really four. In Slay, Bradbury, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who have excelled in with John Gannon. Now, it might not be the same defense and the same calls and the same covers and the schemes, but I would have to imagine, you know, that they would be more welcoming or open to some of Fangio's ideas, being in a defense that's been pretty similar, that they're not going to have to learn a whole new thing and go over some whole new scheme, that a lot of the principles of what they did in John Gannon's defense, where they, the three of them, excelled in. I mean, let's be honest. We talk about this a lot. John Gannon was hated by a lot of the fans. Every single guy, almost, not every guy, but almost every guy on that defense had the best season they ever had in their career in helping that team get to the Super Bowl. So I would have to imagine some of those guys are pretty excited to get back to getting into that defense.
Yeah, one thing I want to point out about this, and I go back to, maybe it's an old school mindset, and I'm also open to the idea that it doesn't work in today's era. One of my all-time favorite movies, Miracle, Herb Brooks. First thing he says to the team, I'll be your coach, I won't be your friend. And I don't know, like, that. I think that's Vic Fangio's style. He's an old school coach. He's not here to make friends. He wants to coach you hard. He wants to get the most out of you. Now, maybe that doesn't work in today's day and age, but I think that's where Vic Fangio's mind is. And the modern player is a lot different, as Johnny Mac has pointed out many times. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I don't think it takes away, though, from his ability to be a good coach.
Yeah, and that's a good point, is that, you know, back then, like, we laugh about this all the time. I coach baseball, and it's like some of the things these kids say, you're like, I couldn't imagine ever saying that to my coach or anything that around
my coach. I'm scared to death of every coach I ever had.
Yeah, you look at the coaches, like, if you crossed, if you said something to that guy that, you know, and these guys now, I mean, the kids are texting you, hey, coach, when am I playing shortstop? Or, hey, when am I batting third? You're like, are you kidding me? Like, what is going on here? Like, and yeah, like, I think a lot of the and because, look, the league has trended towards a lot of younger coaches, like, to kind of, like, connect better, I guess. But that doesn't mean you have look, Vic Fangio has a lot to prove.
Vic's already proved himself as an NFL coach.
He has proved himself as an NFL coach, but I think he has a lot to prove to say that, as Xander kind of pointed out, that, hey, you've been in the league 40 years, that the game's not passing you by. We've seen this game change dramatically.
Oh, yeah, and he kind of alluded that it didn't change. That was the one thing that John, I mean, we talked about that, John, right after he spoke.
I was talking about
it. I don't think it's that much different. Well, there.
No, well, I mean, he knows the game has changed, and that's why I like Vic so much, because he's evolved his defense. I mean, he created this defense that everybody copied, and you know, he was the creator. So I always say, I don't want the copy. I want the original. And the Eagles finally have that. We'll see how it works out. Now, I think because so many, and I've said this pretty consistently, so many teams copied Vic. So many teams were. A lot of teams used it and have gone away for it because it didn't work. And that's what happens in this league. Too many teams copy. Offenses get used to it. And then you got to go in a different direction. So I'm interested to see how much Vic evolves this system as he gets. But he's already started. I've talked to a bunch of people in Miami. The whole default setting was sort of quarters coverage. It certainly was with Jonathan Gannon. He's shifted to more cover nine. So he's already understands he's got to evolve, at least tweak parts of it. So to me, that's a good, a hopeful indicator, at least, that Vic is going to get this thing back on track. And I think he will.
The other interesting part about, like, he had a lot of injury problems down there in Miami. Who knows what that defense would have looked like had they not had so many injury problems? Would people be complaining as much? Or are you complaining because the talent wasn't what you wanted?
Well, Jalen Ramsey would have been complaining because that's a Hall of Fame player. And cornerbacks who can press cover want to press cover.
Yep.
So they're always complaining. If you throw them in zone, they can.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Playing. They're like the wide receiver divas. If they're, they're not impressed, they're pissed off. So that I kind of put in the background. You know, Devontae Parker, I want to talk about for this reason, Mike. And Xander and I were doing my way too early initial 53 earlier in the week. I didn't even have Devontae Parker on the team. I didn't, by no means was he guaranteed to make this team. I didn't have him on the team. But boy, now that he's retired and I look at the backups at wide receiver, and by that I mean outside, not inside. They have nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, no, he has like 369 career receptions, Devontae Parker. Obviously, descending player, but you know he's an NFL player. The group behind him has one as they stand right now.
I know.
One.
We were talking about this yesterday in that, are the Eagles upset by this? How are they viewing this? Like, you know, some guys, it's like, oh, okay, whatever, he retired. Well, you know, like last year, the linebacker that came in, Miles Jack, came in and then decided, I'm not going to do this. Were they like, man, that really wrecks our plans? Like, did they have plans for Parker? And you were saying, I didn't have him on the 53. But at the same time, I said, now they don't have anybody to be like that's had any experience. Now you're going back to, like, if somebody gets hurt, then what? Because A.J. Brown did not play in the playoff game, and you had to play Quez Watkins
at that position.
And Quez Watkins is Randy Moss compared to what they have now.
Experience-wise, right.
Yeah.
So that was, like, to me, it just felt like, okay, he's kind of here in case somebody got hurt on the outside that has some experience there. Now you're going back to square one of, now he might not have made the team because somebody with no experience
maybe they
showed more. Maybe, but at least you have like a security blanket in training camp there.
Yeah.
So do they bring in a veteran player?
I would think, now typically, you know, Mike, from being on the air with you over the years, everybody throws out immediately Michael Thomas, hashtag no, I always say, Hunter Renfrow. Strictly a slot receiver, by the way. So I don't know how that helps you. I would say hashtag no. But they have to bring in somebody. They have to.
Yeah, well, and we went over the names yesterday. I'm sure you got, I mean, like, you know, are you looking for a slot guy or are you looking for an outside guy? I mean,
well, you got to be looking for an outside guy. I mean, now it's become like Paris Campbell's a default setting, and but there's no guarantee he makes the team. But at least you have Paris Campbell. And then hopefully Anaya Smith can get up to speed, or who knows, maybe they'll give Britton Cubby a chance. I doubt it, but who knows?
I mean, those right now, Johnny Wilson, your only outside backup wide receiver.
Well, they got a bunch of guys, a bunch of big guys. They signed, you know, Howie's been talking about the futures deals. He signed Jacob Harris, Shaq Davis, Austin Watkins. Harris is 6'5", ran a sub 4.4 at 6'5", which is pretty impressive, but yeah, he's never done anything. Shaq Davis is 6'5". None of them have done anything.
Right.
And you have Johnny Wilson, who's a six-round pick.
Well, they're loving these big, big receivers right now.
Yeah. The day three picks on this team, everybody's got them like, oh, he'll be fine. These are day three picks.
Who is your slot guy? Who's that guy right now?
Harris Campbell.
Right. That's a guy that's had a lot of injury issues and a guy that you don't have a lot of.
He hasn't done a whole lot in the NFL.
No.
I prefer
to get better over Paris Campbell.
Yeah. So both those spots were kind of like veteran players that you were like taking a flyer on, and it almost felt like you were hoping that one of the young guys just kind of passed them, and you're like, okay, we don't need this guy. We brought this guy in as like a veteran to show the young guy that you're not guaranteed the starting spot, but take it from this guy. And then you did, and it's like, okay, now you lost the guy on the outside to do that for, and now you're kind of looking at, do we need another just outside backup, or do we need to get a guy that we think can kind of contribute here based on what they've seen from some of the young guys already? I mean, Wilson and Smith were probably in the rookie, they probably got to look at those guys to see I always say, people say, these rookie camps, they don't mean anything or anything. No, not necessarily, but
I think they mean something for the young players.
Right. It's like anything, though. You get in front of somebody one time and that doesn't know you, and they say, that guy did more than I thought. I want to make sure that I zone in on him a little closer. The next step, which is OTAs. Well, these OTAs don't mean anything. Not necessarily. If there's a guy at OTAs that does something that kind of stands, you know what? I want to make sure I watch this guy even closer now when we get to training camp. So it might not win you a spot or do anything, but it can certainly get you enough notice that the coaching – look, as coaches, they all want to see somebody do something to make me have to keep you.
Yeah, make me notice you.
I'll tell you what they want to see. They want to see guys who can ingest the information quickly. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to be on the field. So if you can prove that you can learn the playbook pretty quickly, then they start thinking about, well, maybe we can get Anaya Smith or Johnny Wilson on the field. Maybe we can get Jeremiah Trotter on the field. But if you start this process and you're not picking stuff up, it could hurt.
And that's always a challenge for the guy who is the practice player over, I mean, the game player over the practice player.
Kaylee Ringo, a perfect example. And I've said with Kaylee Ringo, that guy's got phenomenal talent. Like everybody's already turned the page to Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. I'm like, Kaylee Ringo might have more talent than both of those guys long term. He's so young, but he was bad in training camp. He was not a practice player. Mm-hmm. And then they threw him in the games and it's like, boop, light went on. And he was one of the very few players that looked impressive late last season. And you see his natural ability. He's so fast. He's so long. He's got everything you want from an outside corner. But if he doesn't show up and practice to Vic Fangio, he's got no shot.
Yeah.
No shot.
The guy who doesn't test well, but is smart with, but he's just not a good test taker. That's the problem some of these guys have. And what do you do with that guy? If Kaylee Ringo can't practice well and Vic Fangio doesn't trust him enough to get him on the field, are you kind of, cut your nose to spite your face in this situation if you're the coaching staff? But look, they have a lot of guys here at that wide receiver position that are certainly intriguing, but none of them have a track record at all. Like, you have Paris Campbell.
One reception. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm not talking about the slot guys. The way, you bring up Paris Campbell. If, God forbid, something happens, like my initial 53, I had A.J., Devontae, Paris Campbell, the two rookies, Anaya Smith, Johnny Wilson, and Britton Cubby, the punt returner. That's six guys. Smith and Wilson obviously have no history, but that's what you're talking about. And these are, they have five fifth and sixth round picks, Mike. And it seems like people are counting on four of them to maybe contribute. Yeah, at that point, are you overrating the talent on this team if that's your expectation?
Yeah, it's a good point. That
four out of five fifth and sixth round picks are going to be meaningful.
I think everybody loves the rookies. Like when you get something new. Yeah,
it's like a new toy as your kid. Right? Yeah.
I would say we were talking about this the other day. The Eagles, the one offseason, traded for Marquise Goodwin. He ended up opting out, so you lost him. They drafted Quez Watkins and John Hightower.
Jalen Reagor. Don't forget Jalen. That was the year they
Smith threw and Johnny Wilson could be Watkins and Hightower. Just
Well, they hope they're Quez.
Yeah, that would be a success. Johnny Mac says that all the time. Everybody has high expectations for these guys. If a fifth-round pick can be that, I think that is a success.
Yeah. I mean, Quez Watkins, as a six-round pick, he was a six-round pick, to make it through his rookie contract and contribute, at one point was a starter, and he got progressively worse, so I get why people are down on him. But that is a success. If you're a personnel guy in the NFL, you chalk that up as a win. If you get that kind of production out of a six-round pick, and now it seems like people are counting on him. Now, I don't think the Eagles are, by any stretch of the imagination. I think they will bring in another body at receiver, maybe two, to be honest. It might be a Zach Cunningham, Miles Jack situation, and you hope one does something. But when you talk about Trotter at linebacker, Trevor Keegan at right guard, potentially pushing Tyler Steen, you better hope that's not the case, right, Mike? I mean, that's not what you want.
No, I think you feel better about it on the offensive line, though, than skill position. Like, offensive line, you can find those guys that can play a little deeper in the draft. The skill position guys, they are a little bit more diamonds in the rough. I mean, those are like more needles in the haystack where you're like, hey, how many fifth and sixth round wide receivers. I mean, there are some, but how many
Puka Nacuas are there? Yeah.
Right. Come around where you're like, yo, hey, Antonio Brown, holy mackerel. Where'd you find this guy? Not too many of them. And what's up with, what happened with Hardman?
Mecole Hardman? I think he's still a free agent.
He is. No, say, was he, cause I know he was with the Jets last year. He got traded to
Kansas City. And then he got traded back to Kansas City. Yeah.
He did nothing with the Jets.
Caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl, didn't he?
No, he had a little good run. When he was at the Jets, he didn't do anything. But he had a little bit of a decent run. Like, he would be a guy I'd have some interest in the slot, maybe, like, as a guy who's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, the three out, Michael Thomas, no way.
Thomas, to me, is just – we were laughing about, like, Jimmy Graham had that one year when he was awesome. And in New Orleans, and then he gets traded to Seattle, and then he's on Green Bay, and then you're like, they got Jimmy Graham. And you're like, okay, if you could get the Jimmy Graham from 2000, if you're like, dude, that was 10 years ago.
it's so true.
Michael Thomas was awesome. And by the way, a late round was like a sixth round pick, but just hasn't done anything.
2019, he had 149 receptions.
That is 149. Insane.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And by the way, hasn't been the same since.
No. And he's been hurt constantly. So, and then, you know, everybody with Renfro had a good year in 2019. Was that 2019? Renfro had a big year.
I think it was 2020. I think.
Yeah.
It was.
He had 100 and plus catches.
Now he is strictly a slot guy.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think he would be a great addition to the team, though, because there's a clear spot for him right away.
I think he's better than Paris Campbell.
That's my point. I mean, he's going to go right in. He's going to be the slot wide receiver.
There's something going on with Hunter Renfro, because he did, as Mike mentioned, he had 100 catch season 2021, actually. So, and since then, he's done virtually nothing.
He's had a lot of concussion 25. Issues. He had a rib problem.
Yeah.
There was another injury. Oh, he had a sports hernia. And then he had some concussion issues. So,
And he signed a big deal with the Raiders at one point after that season. And obviously was not effective since. And Mike brings up the injuries. Yeah, there was a concussion. That was the Isaiah Simmons play. I remember that. And then there was something else, but
sports hernia. Yeah, sports hernia.
Oh, surgery. Sports hernia. Yeah. And that guys usually recover from that. So
there weren't injuries that were debilitating that should be prolonged. But the concussion problem is something, especially with his size and the position he plays, that you would have to worry if that's going to be something that just he keeps.
But I think they need an outside backup. Like I'm not. Look, by no means am I happy with Paris Campbell, but at least he's a professional player. Maybe something happens. They need, you hope AJ and Devontae play 17 games and into the playoffs and everything's fine. They've both proven very durable. But you saw the difference with AJ Brown when he got hurt one game.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
The whole thing changes. And Quez Watkins, for all the hate, he is an NFL level receiver. I can't look at you and tell you that Shaq Davis and Jacob Harris and Austin Watkins are NFL level receivers. And we don't know what Johnny Wilson and Anaya Smith are, but I do know Anaya Smith is a slot guy. So he's not going to help you outside anyway. They need a backup outside receiver of some competence. You're never going to be able to replace AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, but you can have somebody where it's not falling off a cliff. And that's what the Eagles need to find.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing I wonder though about the slot wide receiver is I think Kellen Moore is going to use that wide receiver in the slot more than we have in the past 2 years. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think he spreads the ball around a lot more. And John, based on our earlier conversation, if they're not going to use Saquon out of the backfield much throwing the football to him, I think it's a bigger year for both Dallas Goedert and the slot wide receiver. Maybe
have
not.
Have we gotten anybody say put Saquon in the slot yet?
No, but I'm surprised you haven't got any like more Kenny Gainwell in the slot, right? Yeah. I mean, Gainwell is a guy.
I don't want to see them in the slot.
If you want to give the opposing slot corner a day off, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, Gainwell, played a lot of slot at Memphis.
Yeah, that would not be the best. So for all the talk about, and they're very talented. Look, the starting players on offense, very talented group. But the depth, there's some issues, to put it mildly.
That's really a good point, John. Didn't John Ross, he tried out. Is he out? I know he's, unproven or at this point he's trying out, but is he a guy that could be on the outside or is
he can? Yeah. I mean, he's an outside receiver and he can run. So at the bare minimum, he at least gives you the ability to stretch the field. But the Eagles had him in at rookie camp and they don't even have to cut anybody. They have, I think, three open spots right now on the 90-man roster. So they didn't sign him right away. That indicates they weren't overly impressed with what they saw from John Ross. But, now things have changed with Devontae Parker. And by no means am I saying Devontae. I didn't even have him on the team. But now that he's not there, as Mike points out, it was nice that he was there. Because the hope was that Johnny Wilson outplays him in the summer. Now you have to count on Johnny Wilson.
Right. It's a different, six-round pick.
Everybody needs to wrestle the Brooklyn Brawler before they make it to the next
That's
level.
That's true. That's a
You need a jobber in there to now deport Devontae Parker has been labeled a jobber.
Yeah, a jobber who has 369 career NFL
27 touchdowns.
Yeah. As opposed to the jobber of Jacob Harris, who has one.
He had his best game ever against the Eagles in Miami, 2019.
Yeah, I remember that game.
5 and 2 touchdowns.
He smoked.
Johnny Mack and I brought that up yesterday. Yeah.
I said, and the Eagle fans probably, they remember that one game that he had against them and were overly excited that he was going to be the answer for this team in some capacity, and they got ripped from him. He goes into the Frank Gore Hall of Fame, though. Players have who did not never played a game but signed a contract, you know.
Yeah, Miles Jack being the most recent, you brought him up. Jimmy Kemp, he had a great one.
He got a mention. He got a mention. Yeah, Marquise got
Jatavis Brown. Remember Jatavis Brown? I always bring up the crappy linebacker signed
from the Chargers. Yeah,
yeah. They were talking him up all offseason. Oh, he's so fast. When do you see Jatavis Brown? He retired, I believe, on August 9th. Yeah, so long history of this happening. And we'll see. I don't even know if Devontae Parker's going to stick to that retirement, by the way. But we'll see how it shakes out. I would imagine the Eagles are going to bring somebody in. At Mike Gill's show on X, Twitter, 97.3, the Sports Bash, 2-6. He'll be talking OTAs. We'll be on the field about 12:45, so you'll have stuff to talk about. You'll be seeing information coming out this afternoon. A lot of people going down the shore, so make sure you tune in to Mike as well. I guess I'll end it with the offense and Kellen Moore and this dichotomy between that, because that's going to be the biggest story to me. How do you mesh Nick Sirianni and his philosophy with Kellen Moore, or do you mesh it? Is this Kellen Moore's show? To me, that's the biggest story of the whole season. That's it. How these guys mesh together.
Yeah, how do they implement the stuff that Nick wants to make sure they keep with the new stuff? They both keep saying that this is going to be something that they can figure out. But at what point do you get frustrated of like, man, I got to keep running this damn play. I got to keep putting this play in my playbook. That's two personalities. We talk about two personalities all the time. You could be best friends with somebody and still not agree with them and get into an argument and say, you know, I don't agree with you on this. Why are we running this play? It doesn't work, dude. Stop giving it to me. You know, how many times does that happen until you have some sort of friction? Who knows? But yeah, that's definitely something. Is how different is this offense going to aesthetically look, and the complete principles are going to be different? Or is it going to look very similar with a lot of Nick Sirianni influences? That'll be 100% a story.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing it. Honestly, Johnny Mac and I have been talking about it a lot. I don't know. Is it Nick's offense? Is it Kellen's offense? I guess we're going to find out. Johnny Mac, real quick question before we let Mike go. Did Nick Sirianni hire Kellen Moore? I got into a debate yesterday on Cilio's show about this. Was it Nick Sirianni who chose Kellen Moore, or was it the people upstairs who chose Kellen Moore?
Nick's decision. But Nick, how I describe it is Nick is a political animal and realized that he understood he had to make a change. And then it became, I do think Cliff Kingsbury would have gotten the job if he was amenable to coming in with basically, you know, one or two guys on the staff, and he wanted a little bit more, and then they shifted to Kellen Moore. But I do think it was technically Nick's decision. But if Nick came in and said, hey, I'm keeping Brian Johnson, Nick would have been kicking rocks like Javon Holland on Instagram.
Yeah. All right, Mike, thanks for joining the show, man. Make sure you guys follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Gill Show. Listen to 97.3 ESPN. Down the shore, Mike, bigger audience this weekend. Everybody's coming down the shore.
Yeah, man. A lot of pressure on you. Bigger. It's always big, though. Number one in the market for how long? Yeah. Football at four.
We were number one. I'm getting old. I don't remember
100,
anymore.
100 years, I think. I take great pride in that.
Dominating the South Jersey airwaves, as always. Mike Gill, we appreciate it, man. Have a good day.
See you, everybody.
Thanks, bud.
There's Mike Gill joining the show. Johnny Mac and I will take a break now. We'll come back. We have BLG, Brandon Lee Gowton from Bleeding Green Nation, coming up in about 10 minutes. Johnny Mac and I will come back, and we'll kick around some more OTA talking points, some of the things Johnny Mac mentioned there to Mike Gill interested me. So we'll talk about them coming up next. Stay tuned, everybody. Looks like, by the way, before I get to a break, looks like YouTube is starting to come back. I don't know what was going on this morning, Johnny Mac. I don't like to know. I don't like to see that YouTube's taking our views away. That's our bread and butter, man. That's what we need. We need those views. So YouTube is taking them this morning. If you guys are in the chat box, make sure you drop a like so we know you're in here. We appreciate it. And as always, we'll keep giving you the content each and every day. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be coming back hour number two next on Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.